All right, at this time, kids are dismissed to our Children's Worship Experience, our CWX. If you would like your child to go there, we have that available every single Sunday, except for fifth Sundays when we observe the Lord's Supper. So right now, K through second grade, you are dismissed to our Children's Church program. Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16, and I'll share with you from John's Gospel this morning. John chapter 16, verse 33. Before I do that, I want to introduce you to an article from the Babylon Bee this week. Now, if you're not familiar with the Babylon Bee, it is a sarcastic Christian thing. I really don't know what to call it other than that. And so this is complete sarcasm, but here is the title of the Babylon Bee article. It says, "Nation's hospitals prepare for influx of shell-shocked VBS workers." Here's what it says. "The waves of patients typically begin arriving in late June and peak in July and August. Thousands of panic and traumatized vacation Bible school volunteers who haven't slept in a full week began flooding into America's hospitals. Overworked and outnumbered doctors, nurses, and hospital staff from California to Maine are reportedly clearing rooms and adding beds to receive the sizable influx of shell-shocked VBS workers. One of the interns there said, just seeing one worker return with water balloon shrapnel permanently lodged in her limbs." I thought that was good. Here's another quote from one of the doctors here from this article. "The most common signs of VBS, PTSD, include being unable to stop humming the VBS theme song, having various adhesives, glitter, and other decorations stuck in one's hair or clothes, a perma-smile combined with a thousand-yard stare, and an acute desire to continue serving in children's ministry." Amen. So once again, we are thankful. Again, Babylon Bee is totally a sarcastic website. If you do not know what the Babylon Bee is, it's a funny thing. So what I want to do this morning is to take days 3 and 4 from our VBS and show you what our kids learned and apply it to adults in our situation here. So days 3 and 4, again, a combination of this is when you struggle, Jesus rescues, and that's the theme from day 3. Day 4 is John 16:33. And from this verse, I want to talk to you about suffering well this morning. Suffering well. As Christians, we should suffer well. So let me read you the verse, and here's what John says. In 16:33, if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. It says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, because I have overcome the world." And this is an incredible verse that Jesus gives us in the context of telling his disciples that he's about to leave. He's about to depart from them. He actually says, it's a good thing that I'm going to depart from you, disciples, because when I leave, the Holy Spirit of promise is going to come, and he's going to teach you all things and lead you into the truth. The disciples are upset that Jesus is about to leave, and he comforts them at the end of this section with verse 33, saying, in the world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble in this life. But take heart, I've overcome the world. I've come to give you peace. And the main idea this morning is this. I want us to wrap our minds around this for the next few minutes. It's the gospel is most clearly seen when believers suffer well. When believers suffer well. The first thing that I want to talk to you about in these verses is that everybody suffers. Everybody suffers. Believers, non-believers. And what I mean when I say believers are those who have trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation. And we're going to have an opportunity and invite you to do that later on at the end of the worship service. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, today is your day. It's not something that is to be delayed, it says in Scripture. Today, if you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit that you may have never heard before, The voice of the Holy Spirit is that He is whispering in your heart. You feel an urge, you feel a tug to do something that you have never felt before, perhaps. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart this morning. And the way that works is the Holy Spirit uses the verse I just read in John 16:33, and He whispers to your soul, it's time. It's time for you to come and to place your trust in Christ. And so that's what I mean when I say, if you're a believer this morning, but suffering and trials, they are alike to believers and to non-believers. True? That is something that is trials and afflictions, pains, troubles in life. That's something that believers and non-believers experience. Death is no respecter of persons. Cancer has no bias. When your health breaks, when the finances are short, when the marriage fails, when your friends forsake you and leave you, when you have a child that goes wayward from the faith that you brought them up so diligently in, trials in life come. And they don't have any bias. These things are alike to believers and to non-believers. And they seem to come in waves. And if you are experiencing a trial this morning, something that is testing your faith, if there's a weight on your shoulders this morning, I'm talking to you. I want to make that very clear right from the beginning. Those of you who are lighthearted and chipper this morning, there's nothing major going on in your life at the moment, this sermon is not necessarily for you. It is more for the folks that are currently going through a trial. At the moment, you have a weight on your shoulders that's so heavy that only God can take from you. That only Jesus can overcome. And perhaps the reason why you came today, yes, might be that your child was singing up on stage earlier. Maybe you don't have a church home, and maybe that's the reason you came this morning. We are grateful for that. But what the Bible teaches us is that God is completely sovereign in all things. And I believe that you are here for a bigger reason than just your children. You are here because God wants to speak a word to you this morning. And it's through His scripture in John 16:33 that He wants to whisper something in your heart. In this world, don't think trials and tribulation to be a strange thing. That's normal. And if you come to our church this morning with a certain trial, I'm speaking directly to you. Whatever weight is on your shoulders, Jesus has the ability to overcome those things in your heart. Perhaps you're going through a certain battle with your sin. Sin is anything that is contrary to the Word of God, anything that makes God frown, anything that makes Him sad, anything that goes against His Word. That is sin. And that is the common human problem. All of us, believers or not, have a common problem of sin. Now, the good news is God has a common solution to our common problem. And that solution is found in the cross of Jesus Christ, which the Lord God invites you to trust in this morning. See, a lot of people think it works this way, that God is taking stock of the good that I do and the bad things that I do. This is the common way people think they are going to get into heaven one day. God is taking stock of the good things I do, taking stock of the bad things I do. Since I'm not a murderer, not a thief, I don't rob banks, I'm pretty much a nice person, I've done more good than I've done bad. The good scale is going to tip in my favor. God knows the good things that I've done, and that yes, it's true, I've done some bad things that have out, but those good things that I've done are going to outweigh those bad things that I've done. And God, being the righteous judge that He is, will let me into heaven, and forgive me because I've done more good than bad. And that is not the gospel. The gospel is a word that means good news. That is not the gospel and the way to salvation as taught in the Bible. I want to make that very clear. That's not the way. That's the way of works. And the Bible is very clear that good works will not save you. The Bible is very clear that we are all sinful. And because of our sin, the Lord has separated himself from us. He has distanced himself from us because he is completely holy and righteous, or set apart from us, being without sin. God looks at us and upon our first sin separates himself and says, you're not allowed into my heaven because I'm a holy God and I do not allow sin to be around me. That's the bad news. The good news is, of course, that God's solution to this is to send his one and only son, Jesus, to die in your place. Your sins earned you a place called hell. And the Bible teaches that hell is long term. It's eternal. It's forever. When we die, we go one of two places. And because of our sin, your sin and mine, unless we repent and turn away from those sins, unless we change, unless we trust in Christ to save us, and not our seemingly good to outweigh our bad to save us, we will be in heaven upon our faith and in our trust. God forgives us based upon the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ only. That's the only way, the Bible teaches, the only way that we will be saved. And perhaps the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. He's saying, stop trusting in your seemingly good things to save you. Those things are not going to save you. And you know this to be true. I want you to think of the one person that you love the most. It might be your mom or your dad, your children, your spouse. Think of the one person you love the most. And what if that person was killed, was murdered one day? And the murderer in court tells the judge, Judge, I have done nothing evil in my life up until this point. This is the one thing that I've done. Everything else in my life, I've been perfect in, except for this one mistake. Well, question for you. Would the judge be a righteous judge or an unrighteous judge if he freed that criminal, freed the murderer? Well, he would absolutely be an unrighteous judge if he freed that murderer, even though that's only the one thing he's ever done. And that's the way our sin works. Once we have sinned, we're separated from God until we turn and place our faith in him. And that comes at a moment in someone's life. And that moment for you this morning, or that moment could absolutely be this morning for you. It's not something to put off. The book of Hebrews says, if you hear his voice today, harden not your hearts. The tendency when you hear this good news that I'm sharing with you is to harden your heart and say, I'll do the Jesus thing later. I'm just at church. Maybe for the first time in a long time, I'll do the religious thing later. I'll put it off. And we are not promised tomorrow, are we, church? We're not promised tomorrow. The Bible's message to you is, it could be the end, any one of us, in any moment. Christ could come back in the next 5 minutes. Where's your heart before the Lord today? The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of your trial, harden not your heart today. You cannot overcome your trial by yourself. No amount of behavior modification will get you in heaven. The Bible teaches that we all have a heart problem before God. We have a heart problem. In our hearts, we have rebelled and ran away from him. And so when it comes to our trials and our afflictions in life, we cannot overcome them on our own. Jesus promises us in this verse. First thing he says, in the world you will have tribulation. You will have problems. Let me give you a definition for this word. Here's the definition, and see if this doesn't match any of you this morning. The definition of the word tribulation in John 16:33 is this. It's a pressure. It's two things that are squeezing in or pushing in. This is what this Greek word means, and causing pressure. Or a narrow space that hems someone in, especially internal pressure that causes someone to feel confined or restricted. Maybe without options. Is that speaking to anybody's heart this morning? You don't have to answer me. Do you feel that way this morning? Do you feel like you are in such a place, of stickiness, so stuck in life, that you feel like your trial or your pain or your difficulty that you're going through has you so squished together that you're not sure what to do? You have no options. You might feel like Moses and the Israelites after Pharaoh finally said, "You can go now." After the 10 plagues, they leave in haste and they come to the edge of the Red Sea, blocked, only to turn around, see the Egyptians pursuing them. So they can't go back to Egypt because they'll be slain. They can't go forward because the Red Sea is blocking them, and they are stuck in life. They don't know what to do. Unless God picks up the two walls of the sea and pushes them back and creates a path of dry ground, they are doomed. And maybe you feel like that this morning. Maybe your trial has squeezed you in and you're here. You haven't been to church in a long time. All of a sudden you're here. God's sovereignty brought you here and you're here. And you have this problem, this difficulty in life, and you're just not sure what to do with it. And this is for you this morning. If that's you, this is the definition of what this word is. In this world, you will have trials. And trials are for all people. The message for us this morning, though, is that Christians, if you have placed your faith in Christ, and you're a believer in this room, you should suffer differently. There should be a different flavor about you, where you suffer differently from the world. The way the world suffers and the way a Christian suffers should be different. And there's three reasons why it should be different for us this morning. Three reasons. The first reason that believers must suffer differently is because the glory of Jesus Christ is at stake. Consider 2 Corinthians 12:7. It says this. This is Paul. He says this. "So to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've been begging God to take this pain, lift this affliction, lift this disease off you, and He hasn't done it yet. Here's what God says. "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ," and there it is, the glory of Christ is at stake, "for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." One reason why God might have allowed the affliction, the trial to be on you, the hardship, the pain to be on you this morning, is to make His name look great because of the way you suffer well. Suffer well this morning if you're a believer. It doesn't take any spiritual strength or stamina to be a Christian in the good times. Anybody can be a believer when there's plenty of money in your bank account and when you have all your health, when your children are coming to church and excited about Jesus. when you're not fighting with your spouse, when your marriage is doing well, anybody can be a Christian then. It doesn't take any spiritual strength to be a Christian. That's the way the world, the lost world, responds the same way in their high time. When they're riding their high horse, when life is good, when the job is doing well, that's the way the world responds to good times. How do you be a good example for Christ in the bad times, when life isn't going so well, when you suffer well for Christ, when you suffer well for Jesus? The lost world is watching. They are watching how you suffer. Are you suffering well this morning? Are you being a good example? See, because they can say, oh, well, God's blessed you, and that's why you're a Christian, because God's blessed you. You're in good times right now. That's why you're trusting in God. But like Job this morning, God sent you an affliction. Satan went up to God and says, what happens if you take away and strip Job of everything that he has? Then will he follow you? Let's see what happens then. And God says, you're on, Satan. Let's see what happens to Job. I'm going to allow these things to happen. See, because the world can't say that about you. They can't say about you, oh, the only reason you're following God is because he's blessed you with health, wealth, and prosperity. They can't say that about you during cancer, when you're suffering well. They have nothing to say. What else can the lost world conclude about you? In the hard times, when you're still following Christ, other than his faith must be genuine. Her faith she's the real deal. I've seen her walk through the good times and the bad times. Her faith is real. It's genuine. Your faith isn't tested in good times. It's tested in bad times, isn't it, church? It's tested in the bad times. I'll never forget July 19th, 2008. Ashley and I are about to celebrate our 10-year anniversary coming up. And so we're excited about that, celebrating it next month. And there's a lot of reasons why I remember our wedding day. You have some vague memories of it. I remember never eating at all. Some of you remember that, right? You're starving when you leave your own wedding, and you're just exhausted. But the other reason I remember that date, July 19th, 2008, is because that's the day that Ashley's father passed away. And so it was like a movie. We show up after the wedding. We knew her father was close, but we show up after the wedding. I in my tuxedo and Ashley in her wedding gown, and back to where he was staying at his parents' house, Ashley's grandparents' house, and he had already passed about 2:30 in the afternoon, right after our wedding was over. And so the world's watching. Lost family members are watching at that time. Every anniversary is a little bittersweet for Ashley and I. The world's watching, church. They're watching how that pastor responds during that time. And they can't say anything about my faith or Ashley's faith that it's fake in the bad times when we still follow God. Whenever we say, Lord, you're in charge, you're the boss. Whatever you send me is from your hand, and I accept it. They can't say that. Suffer well, Christian. Let me read you a quote from an old dead guy that I just love. His name is Charles Spurgeon, Prince of Preachers. Here's what he says about suffering. He says, it would be a very sharp and trying experience to me to think that I have an affliction which God never sent me. that the bitter cup was never filled by his hand, that my trials were never measured out by him, nor sent to me by his arrangement of their weight and quantity. Just turn the world upside down, Spurgeon. God sent me that trial. I know, God, you did it. And the lost world's watching. They're watching how you respond. They're watching your faith, if it's going to waver or not. The gospel's at stake. The gospel is at stake. Reason number two why you should suffer well. The gospel's at stake. What an opportunity to share your faith in the bad times. The world is watching, and there is your opportunity to share your faith. In the midst of your hard season, in the middle of a time where you feel like you have no options, there's no other option than to turn to Christ. Because Christ is all you have in that moment. Everyone else has left you. Your health is broken. And all you have is God. And Christian, it is good for you to learn this now, before the time where all you have is God. We should learn this well now, because there will come a day. Death is undefeated. There will come a day when the doctors say there is nothing more that we can do. And you will have no other choice but to live upon God in that moment. It's best we learn it now so that we suffer well for Christ. Jesus promises us tribulation. You're going to have problems. He also promises us peace. Don't miss this in the verse. He promises us peace. In the world, you're going to have problems. You're going to have trials. But I give you peace. And don't worry. Fear not. Take heart. I've overcome the world. Through me, you're going to overcome. I've sent you this trial. I've designed it just for you. I know you better than you know you. And perhaps God has sent you an affliction this morning to get you to turn and to wake up to the reality that you need him so desperately this morning. I don't know about you, but whenever I go through a trial, I pray a lot. And that's the point. We tend to forget God in the good times, don't we? We don't need God then. But maybe God is sending you an affliction this morning to wake you up. Wake up. You need me this morning. Your trial could be the best thing that has ever happened to you. Have you considered that this morning? It could be the thing that turns your life around, where you say, I'm going to turn and follow Christ now. God, you've got my attention. Third reason why you should suffer well is because God's sovereignty provides peace in the midst of your trouble. Don't miss God's sovereignty in this verse. I've talked a lot about it this morning. Let me show you exactly where I get it from. Look back to verse 33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Here's where God's sovereignty comes in. It's there. Jesus says, take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, question, what's the context of what's going on here? Has he overcome the world yet? No. This is before he goes to the cross. Christ looks right at his disciples in the eye and says, kids, every eye up here, look at me. Kids, he says, disciples, pay attention. It's already over. Now, how could he promise that if he wasn't sovereign to complete it? He couldn't. He says, in the world, you're going to have problems. Trust me, you will. I've come to give you peace. Fear not, I've overcome the world. This is before he even went to the cross. Before he rose from the dead. Before his second coming, when he's going to come again on the white horse and take all those who trust in him back up to paradise with him. This is before everything. He says, I promise you it's going to happen. Just trust me. It's already over. It's done. If you're a believer this morning, Jesus has already conquered your problem. When you have sorrow, Jesus rescues. That's what we've been teaching your children all week. And we're praying it sinks in to the adults also. To me, I need that. How many times do I go through a trial and forget those things? Forget that Jesus overcomes, has already overcome, that God is completely sovereign and completely good. He has assigned and designed your trial to get you to wake up to him this morning. And this could be your moment for you to place your trust in Christ, perhaps for the first time. So worship team, come on up and I'll lead us in a time of prayer, and you will be invited to repent and to turn and trust in Christ. Back in room 4 behind the sound booth, we have counselors back there that would love to share with you what it means to place your trust in Christ. Take heart this morning if you're going through a trial. Jesus has already overcome that trial. Place your trust in a sovereign God this morning who knows and loves you better than you know you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your promises in Scripture that you are going to overcome every single one of our trials, every single hard time in life. Lord God, we trust in you this morning. You're a good Heavenly Father and you know exactly what you're doing. Father, I pray for the person that is going through a particular burden and a particular trial this morning in life, and I ask that you would bless them with the peace that only you can give. Help them to trust in you like they've never trusted in you before. Help us to suffer well, Father, and suffer differently for the sake of your great name and your kingdom's come. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.